farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. It's early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
All right, Bill Barty, if you'll get out there and rake up those leaves and dispose of the acorns, we'll make room for a chestnut tree.
I'm going to climb that chestnut tree.
You are? You better let it grow a while.
Come back in 40 years and check on me. Listen, imagine 100 years ago, towering beauties throughout the countryside, made for picnics, made for tree climbing, feeding wildlife, and standing elegantly over nature. There were 3 to 4 billion of these trees that were killed in the first half of the 20th century. They were killed by an Asian fungi or a blight that was first found in 1904 in New York City.
Now, New York City.
New York City. What is now the Bronx Zoo, the American chestnut blight began and rapidly spread throughout the eastern seaboard. Now, there are a few trees that are still standing in protected parts of our country, but the 3 to 4 billion trees are now a few thousand. We're going to invite Doug Gillis onto the program. He is with the local chapter of the American Chestnut Foundation, and we're going to learn about a little bit more about the past, the present, and the future of this towering 100-foot-tall tree at its best. Doug, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Thank you very much.
Doug, tell us, how right did we get it when we were talking about the past of the American chestnut?
Well, yeah, you got it right. It was the iconic tree in the eastern forest. It was a foundation tree, and not only did Native Americans, but settlers and wild animals depend upon it. But it was just a great tree that had many, many uses.
And the blight that tackled the species of tree, we don't call it really extinct because the root systems are still alive, but a tree that was once 100 feet at full growth now only grows to 10 to 20 feet. That blight came in from Asia some way, somehow. I think there were other Asian-type chestnut trees that came into our country that were planted in New York, and that's where the blight began, from those trees that spread into the American chestnut that did not have the resistance.
That's correct. The American chestnut has no resistance to this Asian fungus since it did not evolve with it, whereas the Chinese, Japanese, Korean chestnut trees did adapt to it. So what we are able to do with the American Chestnut Foundation is use the genes from the Asian trees that give it resistance and breed it into the American chestnut through a 5-generation process to produce a tree that potentially has resistance to the blight.
Now, I see a lot of chestnut trees available to buy and plant. However, they're not the hybrid tree. They're the Chinese chestnut. Is there any danger in the future of continuing to plant these Chinese chestnut trees?
Well, people do get them and plant them for nut crops. The main problem would be when we do start reintroducing the American-type chestnut tree in the forest, if there's enough of these Chinese-type trees around, then they can pollinate the American chestnut and then produce a combination Chinese-American tree that's not what we want. So, we prefer people wait until they can get the resistant trees and start planting them.
Well, is this a long-term thing? I mean, how long would it be until these are more readily available?
We are doing tests in forested areas already to see how the seeds that have been developed grow in the forest area and compete with other trees. So those tests are going on. There is also restoration work going on in the mined land, especially in the West Virginia area, where seed we provide to these people are replanting to see how well those trees do on reclaimed land of mine.
So how do you do that? That's a test against blight resistance. So are trees being planted and grown and then exposed to this Asian fungi to see if the blight attacks these trees as well?
Well, the trees we propagate in our orchards are deliberately tested with the fungus. to weed out the weak ones and save the best ones and then cross those again with another generation of trees. When we plant them in things like the reclaimed mined land, then they'll be exposed naturally to the blight because it resides on other trees in the forest, and it'll seek out chestnut trees and attack them if it gets an opportunity to do so.
We're talking to Doug Gillis. He is with the local chapter of the American Chestnut Foundation, and if you walked the lands 50 to 75 to 100 years ago, up and down the eastern seaboard, you would see these towering trees that were used for wildlife and for people, chestnuts roasting by an open fire, as well as furniture and all these other causes. That tree, the American chestnut, wiped out by blight that came into our country in 1904.
Doug, is there an easy way to tell a Chinese chestnut tree from an American chestnut? Are the leaves different? Is that easily identifiable?
Yes, it is easily identifiable. It, however, takes a little research if someone wants to get good at doing it. I would suggest that people go to the American Chestnut Foundation's website. It's www.acf.org. And then you can scroll down and where it says, have you found a chestnut, click on that, and there will be plenty of information as to how you can identify the American chestnut through pictures and other resources online.
So, Doug, let me jump in here and ask you, before geocaching came about with our cell phones or GPS units, before Pokemon Go and us running around with our smartphones trying to locate all these Pokemon characters, we can go out there and into the woods and try to find, like Don Yeager, our very own outdoor guy, finds deer antlers, shed deer antlers. We can go out there and try to find chestnut trees. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and it might be a lot easier to find the chestnut trees than it is to find the shed deer antlers. Right. If you know what the tree looks like, and the leaf is 7 to 10 inches long and narrow and lanceolate in shape, which means it looks a little like a canoe sort of, with teeth protruding from the edges. And that's very characteristic and different from the Chinese trees, which you're not going to find in the woods, actually. But if you know what to look for and are interested, then in the mountains of the Carolinas, even at places like South Mountain State Park, Crowder's Mountain, King's Mountain, you can find these trees in the woods, and sometimes 3 to 4 inches in diameter before the blight gets them.
Wow. So we can go to that website, acf.org, that tab down there that says, have you found a chestnut? And I guess we can document it. We can send it in to the website, people. And this year at the Boy Scout Jamboree in Beckley, West Virginia, the American Chestnut Foundation is presenting more information there. Is that part of the educational process for young people to learn about this American tree?
Yes, that's a outreach program, and we'll have a booth at the Boy Scout Jamboree and even have some gifts given away. One idea is to have some potted chestnut trees available to people to come to the booth. So it's a good learning experience. There's also trees planted up there by the West Virginia chapter, and we're looking for groups like the Boy Scouts of America and Girl Scouts of America as well to learn about the tree, find it in the woods, and help with this restoration project.
Well, how can we help?
Well, by I'd say start looking at the website and get familiar with it. It's a new site. It's been redone, but to help you navigate the page, you'll see up in the corner three parallel bars, and that's a pull-down tab that'll help you navigate it. You can just learn a lot of information. We also have volunteer opportunities in the area where you can get your hands dirty and help and plant chestnuts in the woods and do these tests, or just contribute in other ways, financially or by membership, and helping promote the idea of the restoration of the tree.
You go to ACF, you can get the eSprout newsletter. Hey, what's your favorite rock and roll band there, Doug Gillis?
Well, I like Chuck Lavelle, who is a keyboardist. He's played for the Rolling Stones as well as Eric Clapton and other artists. But when you go on the site, there is a video right at the top of the page, and then you can watch Chuck Lavelle talk about the tree farm he has and the chestnut trees he's growing down in Georgia.
That's it. So the Rolling Stones. Hey, Doug Gillis with the local chapter of the American Chestnut Foundation. Thank you so much for being on with the Outdoor Guys here at WBT.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Off we go. We'll be back with more after this.